In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, open thou the eyes of my heart, that I may hear thy word, and understand, and do thy will, for I am a sojourner upon the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me, but open mine eyes, that I may perceive the wonders of thy law. Speak unto me the hidden and secret things of thy wisdom. On thee do I set my hope, O my God, that thou shalt enlighten my mind and understanding with the light of thy knowledge, not only to cherish those things which are written, but to do them, that in reading the lives and sayings of the saints I may not sin, but that such may serve for my restoration, enlightenment, and sanctification, for the salvation of my soul, and the inheritance of life everlasting. For thou art the enlightenment of those who lie in darkness, and from thee cometh every good deed and every gift. Amen. Today is Friday, June the 21st, 2024. I am back after a short break. I guess I won't get into it, but I'm happy that I'm back. For our scripture reading today, we have Acts and the Gospel of John, sections from those two books. And for our readings from the lives of the saints, we have Martyr Julian of Tarsus and Cecilia, and Hero Martyr Terence, Bishop of Iconium. Starting with Acts chapter 27, verse 1 through 44. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So, entering a ship of Adramyttium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coasts of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. And the next day we landed at Sidon. And Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. When we had put to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off Sicilia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus, the wind was not permitting us to proceed. We sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salmon. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near the city of Lycia. And it's not Lycia, it's Lacia. When much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives." Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening towards the southwest and northwest, and winter there. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close to Crete. But not after long, a tempestuous head wind arose, called Euroslidon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrtis sands, they struck sail, and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me, and not have sailed from Crete, and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. Now when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea, under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, "Today is the 14th day. You have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore I urge you to take nourishment, for this is your survival. For this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you." And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged, and also took food themselves. And in all we were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach, onto which they planned to run the ship, if possible. And they let go of the anchors and left them in the sea. Meanwhile, loosing the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where 2 seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow struck fast and remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest of them on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. That's one of my favorite parts of Acts, the shipwreck. On to the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 18 through 26. "As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be as one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them." All right, on to the lives of the saints. Our first one is the martyr Julian of Tarsus in Sicilia. The holy martyr Julian of Tarsus was born at Diocesaria in the province of Sicilia. He was the son of a pagan senator, but his mother was a Christian. After the death of her husband, she and Julian moved to Tarsus, where her son was baptized and raised in Christian piety. When Julian reached the age of 18, Emperor Diocletian, 284 to 305, began to persecute Christians, issuing a decree that everyone had to offer sacrifice to the idols. If they refused, they would be tortured. Among those arrested was St. Julian. They brought him before the eparch, Marcion, to be tried. And for a long time they urged him to renounce Christ. Neither tortures, nor threats, nor promises of gifts or honors could convince the devout young man to sacrifice to the idols and deny Christ. And so the holy confessor remained steadfast in his faith. For a whole year they led the martyr through the cities of Sicilia, everywhere subjecting him to interrogation and torture, after which they threw him in prison. St. Julian's mother followed her son and prayed that the Lord would strengthen him. In the city of Agia, she besought the eparch to let her son, or let her to visit the prison, ostensibly to persuade her son to offer sacrifice to the idols. When she saw him, she did the opposite. She spent 3 days in prison with St. Julian, exhorting him to remain strong until the end. Once again, St. Julian was brought before the eparch. Thinking that his mother had persuaded her son to obey the imperial decree, Marcion tried to convince her to offer sacrifice. But she continued to confess Jesus Christ. She boldly denounced polytheism. Marcion then ordered that her feet be cut off, since she had followed her son from Tarsus. Then St. Julian was placed into a sack filled with sand and poisonous snakes, and it was thrown into the sea. The martyr's body was carried by the waves to the shores of Alexandria. There his body was buried by a certain pious Christian. St. Julian's death occurred around the year 305. Afterwards, his relics were transferred to Antioch. St. John Chrysostom honored the holy martyr Julian with an encomium, and fragments of the saint's relics are found in the monasteries of Pantocrator and St. Pantaleimon on Mount Athos. We pray to St. Julian to protect gardens and fields from creeping things, snakes, and harmful insects. And the second one is a very short one here. We have the hero martyr Terence, Bishop of Iconium. St. Terence was Bishop of Iconium in Lyconia in the first century. He was tortured and beheaded for his faith in Christ. And that's it for today. Thank you for sticking with me through my, sabbatical there. Hopefully we will continue with our daily readings from here on out. All right. All glory to God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and forever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.